cool seeing all those kids, Jeremiah. It's good seeing all those young people. Isn't that great seeing all those young people? I think everybody's starting to feel better. All the young people are coming back. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We've been separated for a while now. Some of the Corbins are back. We got the Heisers back. We got the Harlows back. Who are we missing? From that particular strand of frailty that smacked all of you.
Tim's still down.
That's right, the Timster. The Timster. Michelle was glad to see him today. So, or did she see him today?
No, she didn't see him
today. I'll be quiet. Okay, so you want to fill us in on Julie?
Talked with her and Buddy just a little bit ago. Still possible to go home tomorrow, but they'll probably know more as it gets to tomorrow. But her blood pressure and things that they were kind of watching after the surgery has gotten a lot better. Okay. And she sounded like she was doing really well. She said okay. She felt a lot better.
Okay.
So still obviously a lot of recovery. And
how long do they say the recovery is going to be? Do you remember?
It's quite a while.
Hannah, how long is it going to be? Pastor Greg, how long is it going to be? Sorry, Jen.
From what I know, like with my dad, it's really dependent on the individual and you know how they ended up with the surgery and how they do bouncing back. So.
How long did it take your dad?
It took a good. I mean, he was in the hospital 3 weeks, almost 3 weeks.
Okay. So I think you guys started working on meals and stuff too, right?
There's meals lined up. I think starting tomorrow, but we're not really thinking they're going to be necessarily home tomorrow. But I know Miss Barbara's been kind of getting that arranged, and I think starting from, you know, Lord willing, maybe Friday on for I think over 2 weeks.
You were pointing at Barb or Shelley? Barb. How long are we doing meals?
About 2 weeks.
For now, flat 2 weeks, unless something changes.
Yeah. I mean, and I put it out for every day because sometimes it's hard to tell when somebody can take something. And we figured we asked if there are donations, we'd get gift cards for the fill-in the other day. The Lord will fill it if he wants it filled.
Yeah. Now,
and if they need more, we can add more at the end.
Is there restrictions? What do you remember?
They may not think so. I think so. What
are they saying the restrictions are?
Well, she's a diabetic, so she doesn't measure. So I said, please measure the starchy thing. Keep them separate so she can measure it out.
So keep the carb, protein, veggie separate.
I mean, the casserole stuff's hard.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So if you're doing potatoes,
I understand.
Rice,
okay.
It's up to them to.
Yeah, to kind of work through.
Do what they.
Dave's over here going, yep. Yep.
What they're not going to do.
Fruit and veggies, that's wonderful.
But I don't want to contribute.
Yeah, I don't want to hurt in any way.
Right.
So, okay. So that's gone out for the meals and things like that for
and
Julie
the other
and Buddy.
The reason I did it every day is they got 4 adults.
Oh, yeah.
That are used to eating.
Yes, ma'am.
So, may not be as many leftovers.
Right. Yeah. Agnes is there too. And I'm just, you know, I think, you know, Buddy's been there helping take care of Agnes too.
Right,
so. All right. So hopefully she'll get out tomorrow. The message will get around. Julie. And is there anyone else that we were thinking about? Anybody else? What's that? Did you say something? That's right, Joel. Any news on Joel?
The last I talked to him, he was grateful for the communication. He wasn't here on Easter Sunday because he felt bad.
Okay.
He felt sick.
Okay.
Got something.
Did you say he was going to stop the treatments?
I did not say that.
Did I hear that, Tom?
I'm not sure.
It was probably great.
It might have been a projection.
Now you know why you're here.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm used to it.
And it's good to have Mike back, too.
Amen.
Amen.
Mike, China. Yes.
China.
Yeah, he was working for Trump out there.
No. Okay.
Trying to take care of those tariffs.
Yeah.
Appreciate that, Mike. Keep it real. Appreciate that.
You think you're Trump? No, was it really serious?
We'll catch up with Mike.
Here he starts it all.
Well, that's usually what happens. But he's just going to put it on Pastor Greg, so you're not going to be able to nail him. Not going to nail him.
I'll bring it back.
I don't really even know what he was doing out in China, so. But we can ask him. If, in fact, he was in China and someone's not pulling my leg, because they've done that before, too.
Was he in China?
Tariff negotiations. Are y'all pulling my leg? Are you serious? See, I have to ask this question to a lot of y'all. This one, this one.
I can't trust the pastor who came.
No. When they tell me ostriches have teeth and they both sit there and laugh, I've learned to just be quiet now and I Google it when I get home. I won't even say anything. A fool looks smart when he keeps his mouth shut. Does an ostrich have it's a bird. He doesn't have teeth. And they're both there going, tariff negotiations, is that what we're saying? Top secret mission.
Classified. CIA.
We're glad to have you back, Mike.
Real quick, Robert knows a little bit more about Joel.
Yeah. I think he just gave you the stand up motions. Oh. Okay.
But the doctor said just a little bit longer.
Okay.
He's been optimistic, and they've been telling him that it's not, like, the chances of this going anywhere bad is not too great. So he's pretty optimistic that this is going to be handled for the most part.
Okay.
But they did elongate the treatments a little bit longer, and I think that kind of just messed with the psyche a little bit.
Yeah. A broken spirit who can endure.
Right.
Yeah.
When you start thinking there's no hope at the end, what's the point of keep going? Sick, at least you think, oh, I'll be better in a week or two. So we want to be praying for him. So you have some good contact with him, you and Dave. And there's a card. Miss Fair has a card back here. So different ones. You women are always great at doing that. Us men should get better at this. Paul wrote many letters. Well, that's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. The card for Joel's in the back, you know, so please take some time to do that. And maybe one of you guys can take it. It'd be good. You know, I think you've been ministering. You guys want to bring it in the rest of the class or?
Well,
lives in Regency.
About 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay.
From you as well?
Yeah.
So both of you guys are pretty close. But you've been ministering to Joel for a long time now.
Yeah, well, he's the one that brought him
in. I remember.
Yeah.
Yep. You guys have been in a movie, right?
Say that again?
They've been in a movie.
Yeah. Okay. You're regular old evangelist, you. Yeah.
Just out of nowhere.
Yeah. Good job. How long has that been now? 5, 6 years? It's been a long time.
Like
12.
Yeah,
12, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm going to be quiet again.
Yeah.
Oh, I had hair back then. Okay. So, but remembering Joel, we don't believe that was an accident. That was a God's sovereign appointment that he's brought him into to your path, Family Bible Church's path. You know, our prayers is to see him come all the way. You know, that saving faith, you know. So, anyone else?
It makes you feel better Josh has been about 5 years.
What's been fun?
It makes you feel better Josh has been about 5 years.
Gotcha. It doesn't, but thank you for trying. I appreciate your encouragement. Hold on, Barb, go ahead. I'll come right to you, Mr. D.
I just wanted to say last week we prayed for Tammy.
Yeah, yeah, the Hillens.
How's she doing? She's having it pretty rough right now.
I mentioned it last week. Hope I didn't overstep, but you know, I know me and Bob been talking about it now for a while out here working, and so I said I wanted to mention Tammy at this time and the whole family as well. So be remembering the Hillens. Tammy, your daughter.
That's
right. Daughter-in-law. That's right.
Daughter-in-law.
Just got to get in here. Dave?
I had a divine appointment today.
Yeah.
And the gentleman's name is Nick Amato.
Okay.
He is a contractor.
Okay.
And we were working on his project. He's having major mouth surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Got some major teeth issues, and but the reason I want him to be prayed for is he's looking for a church, and he seemed extremely excited about our encounter. That was clearly a divine appointment. He had prayed that morning, this morning,
mm-hmm.
For someone, you know, that the Lord would give him some direction. I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I show up on this job. It's not one of my jobs. I just
happened
to go there to assist who it does belong to,
mm-hmm.
to try to help them with the situation. And I got there, you know, probably 30 to 40 minutes before that gentleman did,
mm-hmm.
and was able to spend a lot of time talking to this guy. And the Lord just opened the doors wide open. And he's a believer. He was asking me questions.
Right,
you know,
right.
And it was exciting. Clearly a divine appointment. So his name is Nick
Church?
Amato.
Had he been going to church?
He hasn't been. He just moved here from Colorado and hadn't found a church yet.
Good.
Kind of got off track.
Yeah.
And he knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to get back on track.
Good.
But he had some bad experiences in a couple different churches trying to locate one. And I said, well, this is clearly no mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You need to come to Family Bible Church. You need to visit. He lives in Western St. Augustine,
mm-hmm.
and so it's a good little trek for him, but no further than the Vitz.
Mm-hmm. If not, I know there's the one down there that Ann goes to too, and that seems to be a pretty good church. Anastasia Baptist seems to be a pretty good church down there too. If, in fact, need be. Okay, so Nick Amato as well. And the Lord's really been, I think there's been quite a few people I've talked to that we've had opportunities, that God's given opportunities to talk with different ones as we're out and about. And so the Lord's definitely been giving us opportunities. You know, our prayers is we see them come through that door.
Amen.
You know, come get fed and come be refreshed and receive, you know, be ministered to by the love of Christ through the body of Christ. And that's our hope. So thankful for all of you and your hearts and your love for the Lord. James, you want to open us up in prayer, brother? Oh, praise night. It's a Sunday. One of the things Pastor Gary's asked, and I am in full agreement, it's just really a time we're going to come together as a family and be praying for one another. So be thinking about different things that are going on, and you just begin different ones. We're going to pray for one another, encourage one another, and build one another up as we remember who our Lord and Savior is, and we remember what he's done for us through the cross, through this time of communion, so what he's done for us. So that'll be praise night this Sunday, a time of prayer and encouraging one another, building one another up. Yes, sir.
We sent out an email last night about BBS.
That's right.
One of the dates had changed for a work day since we announced it about a month ago.
Right.
So just, I know email is not always the first thing we check, but if there's any questions, just ask.
I know in this new day and age, email is not always what I check first. It's more my text messages. But I think the one thing we were trying to be mindful of, it was Mother's Day weekend. And so I think we bumped it back to the 17th. And I really look forward to that time. I really look forward to VBS this year, too, and serving with everybody. You know, it's a great time, fun time, too.
Mom, you've had parents already reaching out.
I got an email from a parent wanting to know when the registration form was going to be on the internet already.
Which parent?
The Denny's. Yeah, so I was really excited.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Oh, your Vincent. Little guys.
Vincent and Lily?
The Denny's.
Oh. We'll get back to you on that. Thank you, Diane. We eat at the Denny's sometimes, but and I'm thankful that we can rejoice together and have fun together. And but also on a serious note as well, I know there's different ones that are going through different things, and so we do have the joy of the Lord in us. But at the same time, you know, with great honor and love and care, we pray for the different ones that are going through different things. So, James, you got us.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just give you thanks for who you are. Your faithfulness, for your love, your comfort and strength that, Lord, you bring at just the right time. Lord, we do think of those within the body, Lord, and within our midst that you've brought in, Lord. We think of Julie in this time of recovery, Lord. So thankful to hear how you've encouraged her through your love, through the body, and Lord, just the encouragement that you've brought in through opportunities in that hospital in these days. Lord, we do just lift up Joel as well. Lord, it's no mistake that you brought him into Robert's life all those years ago, Lord, and that you would bring him into our midst. And Lord, you've got him at this place right now, but Lord, you're calling and drawing him to yourself. And so, Lord, we do pray that, Lord, in this time, that he would just continue to seek you, Lord, and that he would see your love for him and your comfort through these different challenges that have begun to come up. Lord, we pray for the opportunities that you've given different ones in their workplaces, within their families, Lord, opportunities to encourage, opportunities to share the gospel, to begin to direct and encourage, to be a part of the body, Lord. We give you thanks for opening those doors. We know that's you. We do pray for the hearts of those that you brought into our path, that, Lord, they would desire to seek you and you alone. Or whether it's here or somewhere else that would be sound doctrine taught, that, Lord, they would be drawn to a relationship with you and into fellowship with your people. And, Lord, we just ask for your direction and your words through your Spirit. In the opportunities that are to come. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for who you are and just your perfect love for us, Lord. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, brother. If we would, let's open up to Proverbs chapter 18. I do want to briefly mention in 17, and I'll just try to do it by memory. We'll just look at the very first verse. Better is a dry morsel and quietness with it than a house full of feasting with strife. If, in fact, man has a tendency of thinking that more is better, we know that in Luke 16, verse 15, Christ would rebuke the Pharisees. He says, you're lovers of money. That which is highly esteemed in man's eyes is an abomination in God's, along those lines. I'll just read it. I think I just butchered it a little bit, and I don't want to do that. Luke 16, 14, and 15. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things and were scoffing at him, and he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable. in the sight of God. We know the Pharisees were lovers of money, but man has a tendency of thinking that more is better. 1 Timothy chapter 6 would say the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. James chapter 4, verse 1, he would say, what is the source of your quarrels? Is it not your pleasures? And so man has a tendency of thinking more is better. Now, abundance in and of itself isn't bad, because Paul would say, I've learned to live with both. If someone's anchored in Christ, then they'll see it as a stewardship. Whatever we have, anyone, anything that we have, whether it doesn't matter what class of financial you're in, because if you're walking in the Lord, you realize that God's given each one a specific lot in life, and fulfillment and joy comes from Christ. It doesn't come from money. If you're dealing with a Christian and a mature Christian that thinks this way, but mankind has a tendency of thinking that abundance is better. And if abundance is that which is being pursued, a lot of times it's going to come with contention and strife. And so one of the points I wanted to make with 17 is I really feel like this is a big precedent for parents. You know, for those of us who have younger kids, or those of you who are younger and growing up going to have kids, and also even for parents of grown children, you know, as God opens a door to encourage, as God opens a door to, you know, well, to encourage. So if abundance in and of itself is the goal, then it's going to have a lot of carnage that comes with it. For instance, you're going to find yourself becoming hard. You're going to find yourself you're going to see people as a commodity or an obstacle. And so you're going to begin to build that. But for the person that says, you know, my desire is just to please the Lord, and whatever allotment I have in life, the most important thing to me is to have peace with God. And you'll begin to live that way. And as you live that way, you'll teach that to your children. But also your children will, you know, they'll see that. Now, ultimately, every young person has to own it for themselves. But according to Proverbs, if in fact we do it right as Christians, we're going to stumble, we're going to fall, we're going to make mistakes, we're going to own those. But you train up a child in the way he should go, he'll never depart from the path. And the sense of, if he sees that gospel lived out in a real way, and I think of a parent that would turn and say something along the lines of, listen, I know I've made mistakes, but I also know I've loved the Lord and I've always encouraged you to follow the Lord. I've encouraged you, like, if you made a mistake, get right with God. You know, so when they see that true faith being lived out, the Lord will use that in their lives at different points in their life to bring them to him. So I did just want to kind of recap some of that on chapter 17. It would kind of go in there towards the end with the cool spirit. And a part of that word cool spirit would kind of tie into that which is valuable, that which is costly, that which is excellent. So it kind of makes me think of, if I were to put it to you this way, he who restrains his words has knowledge, but he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding, or he who has a spirit that realizes what is valuable, he has insight. And a man that has he's motivated by what is truly valuable. He's motivated by that which is precious. So I think Jeremiah would say, if you'll separate the precious from the defiled along those lines, then we'll be moving in the right direction. So, but I just wanted to kind of recap some of that. If in fact, for instance, you try to teach young people, it's not all about money, but that's something hard for young people to see, because you try to tell them, don't go to the house of feasting, that's not where you want to be. Every young person, or every prince, you know, has to be taught that always being at the party isn't always better. You're better off staying away from that. You're better off having peace than being involved in all that contention. And let me say this, all that drama. Stay out of the drama, you know, because that drama will come in and it'll bring a lot of carnage with it. And that's something young people need to hear, you know. Stay out of the drama. But you try to tell a young person that, they want to be right in the middle of everything because they don't know all the dangers that come with it. So part of our jobs as parents, and what God is saying, you know, you want to, that's not better. You know, you want to avoid that. And so it's better to have that dry morsel in peace than it is to be a part of all that contention. You know, stay away from that. It's not going to be beneficial in your life. So we come into Proverbs 18, and I didn't write up on the board. We just kind of started running out of time. But the theme I've given this one, and when I give it the theme, you know, I feel like last week, too, or even the one before that, probably should have been more along the lines of, you know, you commit your worries to the Lord and He'll stabilize your life. So in this one, I have impactful words, impactful actions. And so a big part of it, it starts out at the beginning of the one who separates himself and the wicked man. He's very hurtful with his words. But then you'll find the righteous, and you'll go in towards the end, or those who want to practice righteousness in verse 20. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. So his inner man, his conscience will bear witness. There's times when you're walking with the Lord and you come into situations and you know when you handle it wrong. You know when maybe your temper got the better of you and your conscience through the Holy Spirit bears witness. There's also times when you know you do it right and you walk away going, I know I pleased you, Lord. I just know I did because I handled it in a way that honors Christ. So with the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Paul would say the testimony of my conscience. You know, you get into Romans and also Ephesians, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit within us as a Christian. And you'll know when he starts pressing down, I probably should have handled that one differently. And what I would encourage you in is learn from it, grow from it, but get back up, keep on going, and practice to do better the next day or the next time. Because God is very gracious, because sometimes by the next morning, he gives you another opportunity. I've had that happen. I have blown something, slap up, and walked away, and my conscience was eating away at me. The Lord was just working on me overtime. And then the next morning, God goes, okay, here it goes. Don't blow this one up. And God gives me another chance to do it the right way. And the better part of wisdom brings great fruit and benefit in our lives and in the relationships that we have. So impactful words, impactful actions, they're gonna mean something to someone. It's going to minister to the people in your life, and it's gonna have an impact by the way that we carry ourselves. Another part that I do want to point out is I was just thinking through this proverb, and there's certain actions that I think at certain times I've kind of been reticent on saying anything because in my early years I was very dogmatic and I just a lot of dogma, but that's just who I was. And a lot of it's very practical for me. So when I read through Scripture, my main goal in the way I was trained is to try to understand it first and foremost. Okay, God, help me here. And then I got to put this to work. Like, this has got to be put into my life. So I'm a nuts and bolts guy. So I'm thinking, okay, when I was in plumbing, you know, we had to go in and we had to plumb everything under this slab from these bathrooms through that vent that's actually right over my head. For those of you who don't know, there's a vent that goes right out that roof. It goes all the way to that bathroom, catches that bathroom. It goes under this slab, pops out right over there. And now it goes from there all the way out to the road. Well, it's easy just to draw it out, but somebody's got to put their hands on that. Somebody's got to start gluing that together. Someone's got to start making sure it's going downhill. It's got to have the right amount of flow. You got to have the right amount of water pressure. It doesn't just happen itself. So when we read Scripture, it's not just supposed to be words on a page. It's got to be put into my life. And so with me being in construction, it's the way God made me. And so others are going to come from more of an administrative point of view or mathematical point of view or whatever. But with me, it was more of an ability to work with my hands and in a construction area. With that, though, is I could look at something prints on a paper, but you got to make that come to life. That's got to be real. And it's got to be nuts and bolts, and it's got to be put together. So there's been certain parts at certain times with Scripture I think I've been a little reticent, but I think with this one, I just said, Lord, I've got to say something. And I feel like there's times where I need to just start saying something. But I think with this one in particularly, if you look at me in verse 1, it says, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. The fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. When a wicked man comes, contempt also comes, and with dishonor comes scorn, comes disgrace, comes shame. Comes disrespect with contempt. The wicked man is hostile. He's selfish. He quarrels against all wisdom. So he's the fool. So he's got some arrogance in him. And he doesn't necessarily have to submit to God. Well, because quite frankly, I'm upset and I'm thinking about myself right now. And so the one thing that I really, is I was kind of thinking about it in this day and age we live in, but it's also the tendency of man. I really felt like at this point, I think, number one, we got to look at the scriptures and we got to go, okay, this has got to, I've got to apply this in my own life, me individually. Not only that, but I also have to look out of these eyes at the world around me, and I've got to look at the world around me through the filter of God's word. So this is one of the first things I wanted to say kind of with this proverb. We got to stop making excuses. We just got to stop making excuses. There really is no other way to put it, whether it's the cold shoulder, whether it's passive-aggressive behavior. I got a list here, and I can't find it exactly on my notes, but whether it's the cold shoulder, whether it's passive-aggressive behavior, whether it's selfishness, whether it's the silent treatment, whatever it may be, I also kind of put in here, too, the temper tantrum proverb. You know, I'm kind of throwing a little bit of a temper tantrum. I'm upset. I'm not getting my own way, and so therefore, I'm going to pull myself away. And so he who separates himself, the word separate would be the word to divide. What's also unique about this word is it can be to be put out of joint, which we know according to Hebrews, one of the things, the encouragement in chapter 12 is, you know, you need to get your feet on the straight path so that you can help the one that's out of joint get back in joint so they can find healing. But a lot of times what happens is the one that gets out of joint and the one that starts seeking their own desire, now I'm going to take this from me looking out. So can I have a tendency? I think every human being, if Scripture, I think the one thing I'm really starting to learn too, if Scripture mentions something, there's a pretty good inclination that this is kind of man's tendency. Man's tendency is to kind of get upset, get offended, be selfish, think of his own. So if we were to take Philippians chapter 2, do nothing from selfishness. Okay, so what that's telling us is that all human beings have a tendency to get a little selfish. And I'm saying the word little because I'm trying to be nice. And I'm trying to make knowledge acceptable. And I'm not trying to soft sell it. I'm just trying to make it a little easier to swallow. And so we all have this tendency of going down this road, but what selfishness will bring is it'll bring division. What selfishness will bring is it'll bring contention. What selfishness will bring is it'll separate. And what I thought was unique about towards the end of this proverb, it'll mention he who finds a wife finds a good thing and has obtained favor from the Lord. And so in a way, as I'm reading through this passage, I just really felt like, okay, Lord, you know, there's points in my life, and I think even this year, the Lord really just made it a point in my life. We're done with excuses, son. Stop making excuses. It's time to grow up all the way. It's time to press onto that mark of the high calling all the way. It's time to let go of immaturity all the way. And a lot of times, the way that's revealed is how we handle situations, how we handle disagreements, how we handle getting upset or getting frustrated or getting our feelings hurt or whatever it may be. But what's pretty clear is that he who separates himself seeks his own desire. So let me see if I can put it to you this way. So one of the points I made, stop making excuses. And then there was the one other one. Oh, the temper tantrum. So you guys might not understand this, but even as grown adults, we can throw temper tantrums sometimes. And a lot of that comes by separating myself or dividing myself or giving the cold shoulder, the silent treatment, or rather than sitting down and saying, okay, obviously something happened. I want to get this straightened out because I love you. I want to get this straightened out because I desire to be right with God and I desire to be right with you. Now, Hebrews is clear. Romans is clear. Be it up to you. Be at peace with all men. Are there going to be times that you can't because someone else just doesn't want to? Yes. But is my desire there? Is that the heart I desire to come with? So he who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only revealing his own mind. There's going to be times, I wanted to make this point too before we keep going. I don't know if it's just America or if it's all over the world or if it, and it's probably just the tendency of man, but I think all I know is what's here. Maybe I can talk to some of you that have traveled abroad or from other places and your parents, other nationalities. But there's a tendency that man can think he's kinder than God. And there's a tendency to where we can make excuses not only for ourselves, but when I say stop making excuses, I also mean in a way that we're not going to make excuses for other people either. In the sense of, if God's word says it, then that's what he means. That's what he means. So if you'll turn me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I think a lot of times, and I'm not saying we should be mean or hateful, but I think a part of it is, it's a knowledge that you and I, as desiring to be true Christians, not just nominal, not just by name, and we see that a lot, the desire to be a true Christian, you can have a knowledge and an understanding that Scripture's pretty clear. If I'm watching someone that's dividing and causing division and causing contempt, I can pretty much tell you, if God's word says, well, that person's just thinking of themselves right now. They're not thinking of God. They're not thinking about what's right in God's eyes. They're not thinking about the body. They're not thinking about others. They're simply thinking about themselves. Now, I'm not saying we go out there belligerent and we beat people over the head or you become argumentative, but for you and yourself to mature and to have a mature mindset, you can look at something and go, well, according to Scripture, it would tell me that this person is practicing that. Because that word seeking is the word to aim at or to seek after. Or to aim at or to practice. This person's really practicing just what their appetite wants. Just what their desires want. And when you and I walk in desire, or anyone for that matter, division will come. Selfishness will breed separation. The one thing I've always taught my kids growing up, once I started to realize it myself, Scripture, selfishness is going to equal sadness. So if you're sad, I'm going, are you sad right now? Yeah. I go, okay, so why are you sad? I'm being selfish. So what do you need to do? I need to think about God. I need to think about, have I ever done this before? And then the desire to overcome that sadness is to turn away from selfishness and to be selfless like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But if you turn me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you'll go down with me to verse 13, it says, for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, okay, that's the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. So here it is again. It's not the words of men. It is the word of God. And we can look at the word of God and we can say, okay, if I'm seeing this out of my eyes, the word of God is telling me that this person is seeking their own desire. Now, we want to look through Scripture. We want to apply it to ourselves first. It's got to be to me, because I can't just go passing the buck and removing the log out of somebody, removing the twig out of somebody's eye while I got a log in mine. So I can't come from that point of view. But I can start to self-evaluate myself and go, okay, Lord, okay, so if I find myself dividing, separating, cold shoulder, passive aggressive, silent treatment, I'm dividing, I'm separating myself, you know. If that's the case, then Lord, okay, I'm just thinking of myself. I'm not really thinking of the Lord. I'm not really thinking about Christ, but I'm thinking of myself. So I need to first understand that for me individually, internally, every person, every Christian. But I also can look out of these eyes and tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if we're seeing this take place, you can know, because God's word is declaring to you what's really going on. You can know that. It's because God's word is clear. Now, the tricky part I thought about today, too, is I go, okay, well, is there ever a time that Scripture would say to separate or to divide? And I would say 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is pretty clear. Come out from among them and be separate. So is there a time of separating and dividing and so on and so on? Scripture would indicate yes. If in fact you're in the world, you need to get out of the world. If in fact you're going the wrong way, you need to get back going the right way with the people of God following God. But at the key point too, so there are times that Scripture would say to separate. But I don't think that's what we're seeing in this text. I think in this text what we're seeing is more a dividing from being together. And if we were to even tie into the marriage or friendships, more of I'm upset and I'm offended and I'm going to pull myself away. He's seeking his own desire. They're quarreling against all sound wisdom. Someone who's just selfish, thinking of themselves, begin to argue and begin to become very contempt. They bring a lot of disrespect, and then they bring a lot of shame into their life and into other people's lives. So I wanted to kind of open up with that first thrust as we're going ahead. We're separating, seeking the own desire. That's obviously not something good or beneficial in our lives. So we know that three, we start to talk about contempt. It would talk about dishonor. It would talk about scorn. So scorn is going to bring that which is disgraceful. Now, so those are words that they're using, but it's rooted in their own selfishness. They're seeking that word desire. Will also tie into their own appetite, what they really want. And James, 4 would be very clear. What's the source of your quarrels? Is it not your pleasures? It's what you want, your appetite. So those are words, but there's a source that you're anchored in what you want rather than what does God say is right. So when a person anchors in what they want rather than what God says is good, the result is going to be 2-3, and then we'll keep on going all the way down to like verse 9. But we come into this 4, and this is where I'll put in a part of the impactful words. The words of the man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. So the more I dive into the deep waters, there's part of it that can talk about that which can be a spring or a well, that which can give refreshment. But also at the same time, in different verses that it'll kind of use the same as deep waters, it can be also that which is very dangerous. So I kind of thought it was unique that it can take on both meanings. It can be good. Like if you think about the Sea of Galilee and the men fishing, and they're bringing in fish, and they're helping supply food for the town, the village that they're in, they're helping be a part of that. It can be that which can be a benefit. But at the same time, when that storm got stirred up, it got very dangerous very quickly. So it can take on both from what I was seeing. And the fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. That also seemed to take on, it can be that which was good or bad. And so James 3 would say, the James 3 would say with the mouth, you're blessing God but cursing your brother, it ought not to be that way. So with the words of a man's mouth, they can either be refreshing and healing and helpful and encouraging, or they can be very hurtful and very vicious very quickly. And I think a big part of Proverbs is it'll talk about the mouth a lot. And James 3 would say, that old tongue, that is set on fire by the depths of hell. That is a terrible thing. You better tame it. And I can tell you firsthand, God, you've got to get this old tongue under control. I don't care what it takes. Get it under control. I want it to be used for good. And so he'll mention in 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. It's the character of the Lord. That which is a character, that which is a memorial, and that which has authority. When we desire to put our eyes on the Lord, when we desire to follow him, when we desire to come to him in prayer and seeking him and saying, okay, God, I don't care what it takes, but I want you to use the words of this old mouth. You tame this old tongue. I want it to be used for your glory and your glory alone. You're just going to have to do whatever it takes to just, you're going to have to work in this old mouth and this old tongue. But as you focus on, okay, Lord, it's your character that I want to walk in. And the word character, it's also that which his character will have authority. So the character of Christ, the Spirit, when you walk in the Spirit, it sets its desires against the flesh. When you walk in the flesh, it's opposed to the Spirit. So you start walking in that character of Christ, and you're seeking him with your heart. There's an authority that'll come over, and it'll also be that which is a memorial, that word name. It'll be that which is lasting. But it's got to come through Jesus. It is the only way. It's got to come through the Lord. And in the name of the Lord, there'll be a strong tower. It'll be that which is a protecting force in your life. But if, in fact, you just walk by your own desires, so we're going to go back to individually. When you walk by your own desires, it's just going to breed a lot of contempt. And that's the dangerous part. And so that's the part of why I said, you know, no more excuses for us as Christians. Not for those that really want to grow. Now, if you don't really want to grow, you can make excuses. That's just between you and God. But if you really want to grow and you want this year to be the year that you grow, then we got to stop making excuses. Lord, that can't be a part of my life anymore. I don't want it. It's not from wise. It's not wisdom. It's not going to be fruitful and beneficial. I want to be a skilled Christian. I want to be useful. I want to be used by God. God, that can't be a part of my life. It can't. I want to be in that character of God, and I want to be anchored in that tower. So verse 4 would come in. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. It can be that which is used for good or that which can be used for bad. The hope is going to be used that which brings refreshment into someone's life. To show partiality to the wicked is not good, nor to thrust aside the righteous in judgment. So here it is again. Let's say you're looking out these old eyes. You got to be very careful that you don't begin to show partiality to the wicked. And I wanted to make a point in this verse 5. Those that begin to cause division and quarreling and things like that, I have found to be some of the most deceptive and manipulative people. Now, we're writing to a prince. So, prince, you got to stop being naive. You got to understand that there's going to be manipulators out here, son. And if, in fact, you've been called, now, I want you to think about a prince. So, a prince has been born into a family. And I think I mentioned just this past week, there's two things you can't change in this life that God gives you. One's going to be your gender, and the other one's going to be your family. So, you can't change that. But a prince has been born. Now, God changes the family. Let me add that. So, that's it. That's it. And he gave that gender for a reason. And by faith, someone should accept that. Now, my point is that if, in fact, you have a prince, so, Rehoboam, Solomon's writing a letter, whatnot, he was born into this family. That prince now has a choice to make. Either I'm going to represent my father's name in an honorable way, and I'm going to set aside that which what I may want in this old flesh, but understand now I have a responsibility that's been given to me by God. So a prince would have a choice to make. He's either going to now join in the representing of his father's kingdom and his father's name, or he's going to reject it, and he's going to go his own way. And he's going to bring great shame to his father's kingdom and his father's name. Sound like a Christian? Sounds like a Christian to me. The principles are the same as we apply Proverbs. The one thing I would say, if in fact you're a prince or a Christian, someone's now given a responsibility, you want to be very careful that you're not showing partiality to the wicked. You're not giving ear to the one that's causing division. You're not giving ear. Look, you're out of joint. You got to get back in joint. You need to get right with the Lord. You need to forgive. You need to let go, whatever it is. But you're causing divisions at this point in time, and that's not good for you. So you want to be very careful that you're not giving ear to the wicked. It's not good. And the wicked would be those, I don't really care what people say. What are they doing? Because their very actions, and I can tell you, their very actions are going to show whether they're hostile to the things of God. You might say you go to church. You might say you want to please God. But your actions will speak louder than your words. So that's why I have impactful words, impactful actions. To show partiality to the wicked is not good. It's not beneficial. It's actually very hurtful, especially for the ones that the wicked are hurting. And that, my friends, is where responsibility comes in. nor to thrust aside the righteous in judgment, I have found at different times. You start giving ear to the divider, it will not be long before you'll be attacking the righteous. I've seen it happen first in my I've seen it happen quite a few times. It's very easily for the manipulator or the divider to get us all twisted up. And let me say this, for someone who's very selfish and thinking about themselves, they are very good at manipulating, because they will have the best stories and pull on all the heartstrings. And they'll have you going, well, that Christian is just so mean. Well, wait a minute, I'm a Christian. Well, wait a minute. It's very easy to find yourself giving ear to the wrong things and the wrong people, and you'll be attacking the very ones that are doing right. You want to be very mindful of this. So to show partiality would not be good. A fool's lips bring strife. You realize the things that he's saying is going to bring a lot of contention. It's going to bring hurt. It's going to bring pain. And his mouth calls for blows. I mean, this is hurtful. It's hurtful. A fool's mouth is his ruin. Just give it time. His words will express who he really is. And his lips are the snare of his soul. He's basically rooted in selfishness, and those words will reveal it sooner or later. You'll see. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. They go down to the innermost parts of the body. I've heard this verse before, but to actually break it down, I thought was pretty neat. The whisperer are really tying, I think, to like gossip. And a murmurer, a backbiter, a slanderer, a gossiper. So if you think about it like this, give me all the juicy details. So what I have here, growing up, it would be someone who's very malicious, maliciously desiring the gossip. Inquiring minds want to know. I remember growing up, and those little magazines were all over my grandma's house. And, inquiring minds want to know. Because, listen, gossip sells. Tabloids. That's what they call tabloids, right? TMZ, that would be like the New Age Inquirer, right? And so, listen, people eat it up. Even with the news cycle, I remember, I think at some point in time in our country, they realized in the news cycle that fear and violence is what drove the ratings. So that is plastered all over the television. Rather than just give us the information and we will make the judgment for ourselves. But it begins to lean one way or the other. So you have TMZ, you have Entertainment Tonight. You have the tabloids, you have, inquiring minds want to know. There's something about good old juicy gossip that just draws man's heart in. There comes a point where you say as a Christian and you start, I don't want to know. Turn that garbage off. I don't want to know what's going on in everybody else's life according to Miss Stella's favorite verse and one that we share. Mind your own business. Work hard with your hands so you're not in any need. But go minister to somebody else. I put two of them together. That's Ephesians 4 and 1 Thessalonians 2. So, I believe. And so, but what it does is it causes division in people's lives. And quite frankly, it's not good. The murmurer or the backbiter is like little dainty morsels. And it would seem to be dainty morsels as something that can greedily go down real quickly. So, if I had to kind of apply that to my life, it'd be like Pastor Josh with a bag of Reese cups. And he just can swallow them things down, son. But that's how gossip is. And that's how the divider is. And that's how easily we can be taken off track and it can influence us. And the problem is you eat too many Reese cups at once, it's not going to sit well. And the older you get, it's not going to sit well the next day. And so just an encouragement there. As a Christian, we're going, I'm not listening to that. You need to go get right. But you need to stop dividing. You need to stop tearing down the righteous. I'm not okay with it. I mean, where he's writing to a prince, and this prince has got to start learning. I can't be naive and just moved by these things and enticed by juicy gossip. I don't want to know. You go get right. And so, verse 9, he also who is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. He shows himself slack. What I thought was unique about the word work is it'll tie into that which is I believe one of the words that it used and I thought was unique is deputyship. You have a responsibility. Another word that they put in there was ministry. I thought that was unique. That he who is slack in his deputyship or his ministry, it also would tie into this industrious occupation, you know, that he who is slack in his ministry, the responsibility that God has given him, if you're slack in this, then you need to understand that you're related to destruction. And that's not good. Lord, help me to be mindful of the responsibility that you've given us as Christians. Lord, help us to be mindful of these things. Help us to be mindful that, number one, I don't anchor in my own appetite, and I'm the one that brings division. That's me first and foremost. And then number two, help me to be ever mindful. There's a lot of division in this old world, and help me not to get sucked into that either. So individually, and then also looking out. Then he goes into 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. It is God and it is a character of the Lord. It is the one that we're running to, and you find safety there. So if I can also put it this way, if you've encountered someone that's come into your life and they're very vicious and they're very cruel, you can come to God and you can trust. I think if we were to go into, like, say, Matthew 5, and I have some written down here, 1 Timothy 6, you're going to fight the good fight. But if someone was to come to you and mistreat you, but in faith you go, you know what, no, I'm not fighting back. 1 Peter as well, say someone attacks you, you're going to give a blessing instead. For we were called for this purpose, to receive a blessing. I'm not going to fight back. Go ahead. You want to go that route? Go ahead. And I can tell you there's been times that I've stood up and I fought back with the wrong heart. And I didn't accomplish much. But there's been times that I stood up and done it with the right heart. And I fought the good fight. And then God would work through that. And so you have to always keep that heart in the right place. What's the goal? You know, so I don't want to be motivated by the wrong things. But the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It's a protection. Those that desire to do what's pleasing to him, they're going to run to him. They're going to anchor him. They're going to find safety. So it's going to be that which is character, that which is authority, and that which is a memorial. And it'll kind of tie into some of that there. It's who he is. And no different than Ephesians 5, our desire is to be like him. And as we do, then he'll have authority even over these emotions, over this mouth, and the way that I handle things. God will have authority. A rich man's wealth is his strong city and like a high wall in his own imagination. There's a tendency of man to put his trust in his money. We don't want to do that either. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but humility goes before honor. A big part of this proverb is it really talks about the opposite of righteousness, and it gives us a big picture. There's almost very few verses that'll really zero in on how the righteous do it, which I thought was unique, and I appreciated that, because there's times where I can see the wickedness, and I naturally gravitate to that because you can explain that very well. There's also times where it'll talk about more of the character of God, and that's a lot deeper, and that takes, you got to really kind of think through some of those. But okay, so we have one. A man is haughty, so he's arrogant, he's looking down on other people. But humility, then God will honor. God will make sure you're cared for. God will elevate his people. God will justify his people. You gotta wait and let him do it in his time. According to 1 Peter 5, you know, you gotta wait on the Lord, and at the right time, he'll establish, he'll take care of it, but you gotta give it to him, you gotta let him do it. So that word humility, I really love, because it's the word meek. And the word meek, I thought, was wonderful. Enduring injury with patience and without resentment. So you can be someone enduring injury and just, I remember talking to someone one day ago, how did they put it? Oh, just suffering righteously, you know. And I forget exactly how they put it, but you could tell they were suffering, but it wasn't like necessarily, you know, it was, they weren't really believing good was coming out of it, is my point. And this one says, without resentment. I can't hold on to resentment. I can't hold on to anger. I got to believe that God's going to work through this. But this is an opportunity for me to do it the right way. And as a Christian, that's when you come back and you go, I want to do it the right way. I might have failed last night, like me. I didn't fail last night. It was a couple weeks ago. And it was a couple weeks ago. Thank you. And but I failed pretty bad. But then the next morning, God goes, okay, son, here you go. First thing, come on, son. And I was like, yes, yes. Thank you, God, for this opportunity. And I think I passed. I probably an A-. It was probably an A-. I believe it was. You probably have to ask Michelle, though. But humility goes before honor. So that meek one, he's enduring injury with patience and without resistance. And I can tell you in my early days, man, Michelle did that in 1 Peter 3, but God used that to change me. And so there's a part here at the end where it says it's going to bring in the wife. You know, we as men, you got to be really careful that we don't go down this road of destructive with our words and everything else. And at the same time, wives, you want to build and you want to submit and honor your husband. But husbands, you got to be real careful, you know, because it's easy to begin to find ourselves getting worked up and becoming very hurtful to our words. Okay, he who gives an answer before he hears it is folly and shame to him. So don't be too quick to give an answer. One, it shows a lack of care. You know, you're just blowing them off. The other one is you don't want to make a commitment that you didn't hear what was going on, you know, and that's to anybody. The spirit of a man can endure his own sickness, but as for a broken spirit, who can bear it? So someone who sees like there's no hope. So, for instance, if someone starts affirming the wicked and the righteous is over here going, really? Really? So we have a great deputyship that we don't affirm the wicked. Because what it does is it crushes the righteous or the one that's been hurt. And we have a great responsibility as Christians not to be a part of that. So I'm going to kind of speed up a little bit. The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge. The ear of the wise seeks knowledge. You need to start thinking and listening, trying to gain enough information or knowledge. Number one, knowledge of God. Number two, the information needed for you to make a discerned decision. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. There's different things that I was reading and how to best explain this. The one that I thought was really unique was tying into the gifts and the presence that made me think of Abigail and King David in 1 Samuel 25, when Nadal was literally, King David had been protecting his crops, and this wicked man was not kind or wanted to give back to King David at all. King David was ready to kill him. He says, I'm fixing to kill this man and every man that belongs to him, and I'll take everything he's got. And Abigail comes out and brings the present, great humility, great honor, and she appeals to him, and she stops King David from the bloodshed. And I thought it was unique in that, and there's some that would say a man's abilities that God gives, if he'll hone them, it'll help open doors for him. So I can see how both would kind of tie in there. Verse 17, the first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. You know, don't get discouraged. You know, it always seems better when someone tells the whole story without you saying anything. So don't be discouraged. God's that strong tower. He's got you. You know, it's okay. But at the same time, looking out, it's real easy for somebody to come and make their story sound really, really good and all about them. Start asking questions. You'll get to the bottom of it. The first of these, we read that one. The cast lot puts an end to strife and decides between the mighty ones. The goal here was you would cast the lots and let God decide. So in a way, we're going to come back to let God decide. He's the strong tower. Let him make the decision. I'm just going to do what's pleasing to him. To remember, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and contentions are like bars of a citadel, like prison. So you realize how hurtful words can be and how hard it is to make repairs. So how much more, as we were thinking about Proverbs 17, abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. So how quick this old mouth can cause a lot of carnage and a lot of pain. There's also a part of the word offended that can tie into the quarreler too, but NASB seems to go down with the offended one. So us to be mindful of the words we use. If I can put it this way, once it's out there and once it's said, man, I can't bring it back. I've done caused pain. I've done caused harm. Verse 20, this is where I have the impactful words, impactful actions. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. So it'll bring that fulfillment. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So here's our impactful words. Also the impactful actions and the way we treat others, even without words. death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. You understand, if my desire is to grow and to become a mature Christian, how much weight these words that we have in our loved ones' lives and people's lives, I need to be very mindful of them. And he who finds a wife finds a good thing. I thought this was unique that God would throw this in here and obtains favor from the Lord. If I could put it this way, you know, you found a wife, it's a good thing, it's a beneficial thing. God has shown you favor. So in a way, it's like that reminder for me going, okay, God's given you this wonderful gift and this wife and this woman. Be real careful you don't mistreat her, son, especially if this is a Christian woman. Because according to 1 Peter 3, which I ought to bring a proof text towards the end, you mistreat your wife, God's not going to listen to your prayers. And how easy it is to get worked up and to become very hurtful with our words. And it's a good reminder, you know, we're not making any more excuses. God, I want to grow. I want to overcome this old flesh. Keep this tongue under control. Help me to realize this tongue is to build and to encourage and to stand for truth. So, but in this particular case, he brings in the wife, and I thought that was very unique. Verse 23, the poor man utters supplication, so blessed he who is poor in spirit. I'm turning to God. Okay, God, you got to help me here. You got to help me work through this. The rich man answers roughly, so the man who is arrogant, prideful, and finding an anchor in his money, he's going to be rough. And then we come into verse 24, a man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And we were talking about the wife in verse 22, which I thought was unique, is when I was younger, you know, you have a group of friends and you know, a group of friends that you start dating someone or whatnot, and you're starting to get serious, and all your buddies are like, man, you're leaving us for her, man. And they start saying all these things. And then so you listen to them, and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, well, I got to be with my buddies. And then a week later, and he's done run off, and he's like, I'm sorry, man, I think I love her. And, you know, and how easily it is that wife that God has given will go through things with you more deeper and by your side more than any friend ever would. And so how much thankful we should be for the wives God's given us, and how mindful we should be not to become hurtful. But if I was going to take this principle, selfishness is going to be that which brings division in anybody's life. So it doesn't matter what friendship it is. It doesn't matter the church, work, family, any kind of a brother offended. It doesn't matter. It's going to bring division into people's lives. So I want to make sure I'm not anchoring in my selfishness. I want to anchor in the character of Christ, the desire to be more like him, and be mindful with the things that I say and how I live my life, and be thoughtful and caring. So shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you, we all have natural tendencies to be selfish and to think of ourselves, but that's not like you. And Lord, you're where fulfillment is found. And so, Lord, you tell us in Philippians 2, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but Lord, to take on your character. And when we walk in your character, the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace, Lord, and kindness, and all these things will be a part of us. So, Lord, please forgive me for the many times that I've just walked in my own appetite and quite frankly, become very ugly. Lord, I'm sorry for that. And so, Lord, as a church and as Christians, and I just pray for all of us as Christians, that, Lord, we'll let go of our own selfishness, our own appetites, we'll desire to anchor in you, desire to please you and become more like you. And, Lord, we'll find great security and your authority over the results that can happen from our selfishness, Lord. Please help us in these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.